Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to Hoosier Auto Podcast. I am your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is co-host TJ Inman. And there has been a lot of Indiana football news lately in terms of coaching changes. The transfer portal, we knew it would be a busy offseason, but man, I did not see Kevin Peoples leaving, who was the defensive line coach, and Charlton Warren. I know people want Kevin Warren to leave too, but Charlton Warren leaving as the defensive coordinator heading over to North Carolina. So we do have a lot of impact players coming in through the transfer portal as well. Connor Bazelak, the quarterback from Missouri, committed to IU. And then you had two linebackers as well commit. So it is going to be a busy show. We hope to have Matt Weaver on to discuss all this. If not, it'll just be TJ and myself. TJ, how are you doing? Number one. Number two, is this a busier offseason than you expected for Indiana? We expected a busy offseason, but it's a little bit busier than we expected.
Yeah, doing very well. Thanks, everybody, as always, for listening. We are recording this one day after the 2021 college football season wrapped up with a pretty fun title game and, a new champion that was, I think, what stood out the most about that game, not that we're going to do analysis, you come here for IU talk, but what stood out the most, and it kind of relates to Indiana, is the speed of those two teams stood out to me. I'm not talking about just skill position guys. I'm talking about all over the place. The speed along with just the massive human beings playing on the defensive line for Georgia, but the speed of those defenses, that just jumped off the screen. We knew it was going to, that's no surprise, but Indiana has really addressed that on the whole with the recruiting class that they're bringing in, which I think is huge. I'm not at all suggesting, oh, they're going to be as fast as Alabama or Georgia. No, but I do think it's going to be a much quicker team based on guys that they brought in. As far as the how busy this offseason has been, I think everybody was hopeful that there would be changes at least two spots. And I say everybody, I should say most people were hopeful there'd be changes at two spots. One of them, offensive coordinator, that happened very quickly. We discussed Walt Bell before, so we won't go there. Number two was offensive line coach. Darren Hiller, best we can tell, is going to be retained and stay on staff. I don't think anybody was really expecting a change at defensive coordinator or at defensive line coach. I think it's fair to say that those two spots, Kevin Peoples and Charlton Warren, I think it's fair to say the jury was still definitely out on those guys. Short tenures here, and I was a bit underwhelmed so far with what they had done. However, it's hard to pin last year's defensive performance on any one entity. It's hard to pin it on the defensive line, even though we can look and say, man, there wasn't much of a pass rush. And looking at advanced statistics like stuff rate, which kind of measures your success success in short yardage situations as a line, it was really poor. I mean, IU was bottom third and you know, sub 100 in a couple of those key defensive line metrics. But how much of that is Kevin Peoples' fault? Hard to say. The defense, you know, definitely did not get as many takeaways as they did in the year prior, and basically regressed across the board in statistical categories. And I don't think you can point to very many individuals and say, yeah, they were much better in 2021 than they were in 2020 on the defensive side of the ball. But how much of that was Charlton Warren's fault? Hard to say. The defense was put into very tough spots by the offense repeatedly. So at some point, they understandably get demoralized. The stats look worse than what the defense actually was. There were injuries. So very hard to say, but I think it's fair to assess it as underwhelming thus far. However, not a position that you expected IU to make a move on, and they didn't. By all accounts, Kevin Peoples left for Missouri just as a, you know, a move to the SEC. You understand that for sure. And then Charlton Warren, I think, never quite seemed like a fit with the rest of this staff. And it manifests itself in him kind of looking for a mutual way out. I don't want to suggest he was fired because there was no indication that he was, but it does work out for Indiana because I don't think that that was going to be a good long-term fit at defensive coordinator, and IU doesn't have to pay the buyout money. So in short, yeah, it's a surprise that this has happened, but I do think it could be a very fortuitous turn of events for the Hoosiers because I think there's quite a bit to be excited about with the hire of staffer from Minnesota that's had a lot of success, Chad Wilt coming in as new defensive coordinator. And while IU hasn't made the official announcement, it appears he'll be coaching linebackers, which leaves defensive line coach spots still to be filled. I think that there's quite a bit to be excited about just with that change. And I can't say that I'm, you know, broken up about either of those two guys departing.
Yeah, I just found it more shocking. I didn't expect it. I know people are clamoring for more moves, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, it didn't seem like Charlton Warren wanted to be at IU. That was made very clear on with a tweet from Kevin Wright, you know, kind of, I don't even think it was a veiled shot. That was a clear shot across the bow. You know, to people and things like that. As far as Chad Wilt coming in, he's coming in from Minnesota. I think, you know, he's had success. He's never had a defensive coordinator name, you know, title to his name. He has been a special teams coordinator and a recruiting coordinator, but you know, and I was looking up the statistics for the Minnesota defensive line. They had 8 sacks in 2020, and he's been there for 2 years in 2020, all by the defensive line, and then they had 25 last year. Now the numbers on where they rank in the Big Ten are not gonna, you know, knock people's socks off. But if you look at the talent that they have, he's bringing in talent. IU has brought in talent there. He could develop that talent. He's put guys into the NFL at every stop, I believe, as well. So, you know, we'll see. And I think having a defensive head coach like Tom Allen, who can, I don't want to say hold your hand because that's kind of like not like a football thing, but, you know, kind of walk you through, this is how I want my defense run, this is what we're going to do, and kind of have that, you know, hey, we're not going to run this play here and play calling experience and all that stuff. Maybe Allen is more involved in the defense, because with Charlton Warren, the defense is solid early on, and I get they got worn down, but they – it was not like Kane and Kane when Kane Womack was calling plays. It was – they looked like they tried to go straight up against offenses and things like that, and that's just not a recipe for success at IU. You're going to have to put in some – and you saw it on the offensive side of the ball, and we've seen it for, you know, forever at IU on the offensive side of the ball, outside of some of the Mallory errors. You can't go straight up against power Big Ten football teams at IU and expect to win. You have to disguise blitzes, become creative, do something, because, yeah, IU's recruiting much, much better and at an all-time high, but they're still not recruiting at the level of Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and those teams. And you got to give yourself an edge somewhere, and that's going to be coming in scheming and coaching. So hopefully, you know, for Tom Allen's sake, that this is one of the hires that works out. We'll see who they get on the defensive line coach. I'm surprised that he's coaching linebackers, because that could have been one of those, you know, 2-for-1 hires that maybe frees up some money. And look, I know people want Darren Hiller gone. I don't think he's leaving this year, outside of somebody to come poach him. But I also think, look, we've hammered Hiller a lot, and I think he is part of the problem on the offensive side of the ball. But I think a lot of the criticism is overly harsh. The offensive line played poorly and things like that, but it's not the first time in the history of college football or football at any level that an offensive line is played poorly, and it's up to your offensive coordinator to come up with plays and do that. And Nick Sheridan didn't, and he paid the price. So let's get to the players who are coming in. TJ. Go ahead.
One thing on Chad Wilt, a couple things really. You look at the players he's coached, and I'm not going to say, oh, they are in the NFL because of him, but, you know, he's a part of their success. That's what a coach does. He takes a guy with tools and helps him maximize those tools. At Ball State, Jonathan Newsom, drafted in the 4th round, if I'm not mistaken, goes to Maryland, coaches Darius Kilgo, NFL player, and Yannick Ngakoue, very good NFL player. And Ngakoue was all Big Ten first team when Chad Wilt was there. He was a monster for Maryland in 2015. Helped Army, which is, you know, not an easy place to get really good defensive linemen, but they had the number 8 total defense when he was coaching there. And you look at Minnesota, you know, their top 2 recruits coming in this class, so guys that he was solely responsible for helping to bring in, the top 2 recruits are both defensive linemen. So that's, you know, the best 2 recruits coming into the program, rankings-wise, are guys that Chad Wilt was the primary guy on. So I think that there's a lot to be excited about there. And of note, maybe to some of our listeners there, Chad Wilt played at Taylor University in Upland, Indiana. His dad was the coach at Taylor University, so you know, possibly some common ground with Tom Allen there, with the you know, Christian school, dad the coach, and you know, maybe a bit of a common tie there that might make him a little bit better fit than Charlton Warren was. I think the big thing though is this is a guy with a ton of experience in this area of the country.
Yep.
Something that Charlton Warren did not have, which, again, IU recruits lots of places, Florida, Georgia, you have to go there and get good players. So that's, you know, that's going to continue to happen no matter who it is, you would hope. But the coach and his family have to be comfortable where they are. And that's Bloomington, that's Central Indiana, that's, you know, the Midwest. They've got to be comfortable with that. And there's no doubt that Chad Wilt clearly is going to be comfortable with that. So I think there's a lot of things that on paper make this a hire that really does make sense. The defensive line part, that's an interesting one. You know, we can't really name, candidate X, but I do think that switching Chad Wilt to linebacker tells you that Tom Allen has a guy in mind that he thinks he can get that he really wants for that specific position coach role. That's connecting some dots, but I do think it's, you know, very possible that that's the case. And I mean, I can tell you one name that is not going to be that I saw, you know, posted on message boards. It's not going to be Mark Hagan, and it's not going to be Ed Ogeron. I can't believe people are legitimately wondering if that's something that would happen. I mean, I'll gladly, you know, come on here with our next podcast. If it is Ed Ogeron, I will gladly come on here, say, mea culpa, I was wrong for doubting you pie in the sky people, and, you know, yay rah and poop snowballs and dance around naked. I would gladly do that. But there's just no way that that is the type of guy that is going to be coming here to coach the defensive line.
I'm so happy home video call in.
I said I would happily do it. I didn't say anybody had to happily watch it. I don't think I'll worry about it because it's not going to be Ed Ogeron. It's going to be a guy that we don't know. We'll have no clue whether it's going to work or not. I mean, let's be honest about that. We're not going to know. But Tom Allen, I think, clearly has somebody in mind that he thinks would be a great fit for that particular spot, or I don't think you make the move and have Chad Wilt coach the linebackers instead of defensive line.
Or, if you swing and miss on that guy, you can always move Wilt down to D-line coach too and be flexible that way. So, Allen also coaches linebackers. He's been the linebackers coach in the past. So maybe it's one of those things where they both handle those duties and he helps them with the defensive coordinator duties and to try and lighten the load of the transition. So it's really interesting. So let's get to the players here. Cause I think IU really came up nicely with Connor Bazalek and Jared Casey, the linebacker coming up from Kentucky, and Miles Jack coming back from the NFL. But Miles Jackson out from UCLA. Let's start with Bazalek. IU needed a quarterback once Michael Penix hit the portal, and it wasn't that they needed it because there was no talent left. I think Jack Tuttle and Donovan McCulley are very talented. I'd like to see them in an offense where the offensive coordinator tries to like scheme something up that's good, and maybe has an offensive line who could block somebody without getting them hurt and things like that, and a quarterback coach who will develop them. But Connor Bazalek, he's a 2020 co freshman of the year in the SEC. He's got a solid arm. He's decent at scrambling, but he's not a runner. He's coming off a knee injury. I think it was at the beginning of the 2021 season, but he played in 11 games, or a hamstring injury. Something hobbled him during the year and things like that. But, this is a move. Indiana fans, again, we're clamoring for a quarterback change. And then all of a sudden they went, no, 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 not that one. So yeah. It's the fan base one needs to take a full stop and take a deep breath, because they did get a solid quarterback. Connor Bazelak is somebody that they recruited out of high school. They're familiar with. They think they could work in their system with. You know, he's Missouri wasn't great, but they made a bowl game. They knocked off LSU in 2020. You know, he's throwing, he completes a high rate of his passes as well, which is important. You know, even though he's thrown some interceptions, and Walt Bell's offenses will kind of take care of that part. He's completing upwards close to 65-67% of his passes. And if you could do that, the playmakers IU brought in, your offense is going to be, you know, solid. And he has, I think, 3 years left, including the COVID year, 3 years left to play. So, you know, it's not a one and done type portal get. I like it. I think he'll compete for the job, but also my requisite for coming in was you need a guy who's gonna one, gonna add depth, two, has experience, and three, is pretty good. And I think he checks all three boxes for that. Especially, you're gonna have Tuttle graduate after this year, and you know, I think him and McCulley really could be a nice 1-2 punch at the quarterback position for the next couple of years to get it before you get a guy in the 2023 class to bring him up and things like that. So I like this transfer. I think it helps the offense a lot. We'll see. Time will tell as well. So as we saw last year, time's going to tell, but I think he has the tools to, you know, help revamp this offense and things like that. What's your take on Connor Bazelak?
Well, I mean, it was always going to be a difficult proposition to find somebody that was going to be, you know, slam dunk, everybody's happy. You look at the names that were even remote possibilities. I think you had Cam Ward, who ends up going to Washington State. You've got Calzada, who goes to Auburn. He was scheduled to visit IU, but, you know, commits to Auburn after visiting there. Understandable. And you've got Connor Bazelak. Those were kind of the three that were even floated out as possibilities. So you can kind of quibble between Calzada and Bazelak as far as who you'd prefer, but I don't think that IU necessarily had a choice between the two. I think it was, hey, Bazelak is on campus, he's visiting, we like him, he wants to commit, boom, there we go. So I'm not sure who you could have gotten that was going to please the masses, and that's fine, it doesn't matter. What matters is who is going to be leading this team under center in 2022. I think Bazelak probably enters spring ball as the favorite to win that job. I think it is very possible that Jack Tuttle gets healthy, picks up the system better than Bazelak does. You know, it's going to be a new system for both of them. Picks up the system better than Bazelak does and beats him out. That's possible. However, I think if Bazelak is healthy, I think he's my odds-on favorite to be the starter at the beginning of the year. The wild card, of course, is Donovan McCulley. He's got the best physical tools of this group, and it's possible that he progresses enough, picks up this system very quickly, gels with it for whatever reason, and, you know, it's too difficult to deny those physical tools, and he becomes the guy. I think the one thing that we really need to see from Bazelak is his knee healthy? Because I think that hindered a lot of his performance in 2021. He hurt that knee at the end of 2020, and it really hampered him throughout the year in 21. particularly his mobility in the pocket and his confidence in the pocket. You look at his performance in 2020, he had some games that were really, really good. You're looking at 34-51, 294, four touchdowns against Kentucky, 346 with three touchdowns against Southeast Missouri, 303 yards on 30 completions at Boston College, 22-28 against Vanderbilt. A lot of efficient, like you said, good accuracy. What could cause this to not work out very well? Number one, his legs are not really a threat. He can pick up some yardage with his legs if the defense totally forgets about him and there's a wide open lane. He's not a statue. You know, he can stay mobile in the pocket and evade pressure in the pocket. Again, if his leg's healthy, he can do that. And that's a big plus. But his legs are not going to be a weapon. And with IU's offensive line, if there's not progression there, that's a problem. The second issue, not the best deep ball, at least that we've seen. And you brought up a good point. This guy has 3 years left. There's a lot of growth that's potentially left there for him.
Yep.
It's not like he's coming in as a one-year guy and this is who we got. The product that was there in 2021 from him is the exact same it's going to be in 2022. We don't know which one of these guys is going to, you know, get the Walt Bell system the best. We don't know which one of them is going to be healthy. I think it was critical that IU got a guy that has started before and that the coaches will feel comfortable running the offense with him out there. He's going to be here for the spring. That's a big deal. And a necessity as well. So I it makes a lot of sense. And it's a player, Basilak's a player that I don't think he's a guy that you pick up and has opposing defenses quaking in their boots. You know, we want to be realistic about this. That's not the case. However, I think he is very capable of leading a winning team as the quarterback. And with the pieces that IU has brought in to put around him and the speed that IU has brought in to put around him, I think the offense can be very successful with Connor Basilak as quarterback. And so from that standpoint, you have to look at it as mission accomplished. They might still be pursuing high school quarterback options. There's not a whole lot out there. And I would say that if there's not a slam dunk guy that you're really in love with, it does make more sense from the outsider standpoint to just take these four as your quarterback room, plus walk on in Grant Grimmel as the fifth. Keep that as your quarterback room. Hope they can stay healthier than they did last year and really aggressively go after somebody you do love in 2023. But as they say, we're not coaches, so that's going to be up to them. But I think mission accomplished on the quarterback standpoint on the portal side. And probably the best we could realistically have hoped for, really.
Yeah, that's, my thoughts exactly. And, we'll see. Excuse me. On the defensive side of the ball, IU picks up two more linebackers in Miles Jackson and Jared Casey to kind of rebuild up that that linebackers room. Another point, TJ, you said Basilak's coming in early. IU will have 19 early enrollees this year, and I think that's huge in terms of trying to turn this thing around again. Having 19 new players, 9 high school players and 10 transfers so far is huge. That's almost a tenth of, that's over a tenth of your roster is coming in for spring. So it should make for a very exciting spring. Take us through the linebackers. These are athletic guys coming in Jackson and and Casey Jackson. They don't have their transfer ratings up there, but Casey was a four-star recruit coming out of the Louisville area out of high school, and Miles Jackson was a mid-to-high three-star edge rusher coming out of high school as well. Jackson's going to play the bull. He's out of, I think it's Hoshin, Georgia, Mill Creek there. He is going to be a redshirt sophomore, so he has multiple years left as well. I think he gives IU a little different of a body over at the edge position. He's 6'3", 248. Jared Casey, another 6'3", long guy, 232. There, he's a redshirt junior, so he has a couple years left. Just take us through both of them. Start with Miles Jackson.
Miles Jackson, a player that I think you mentioned, a different body type than what IU has at that bull spot. And that's something that we've noticed, kind of a shift. They are looking, you may have, if you've been paying attention, may have noticed, oh, he's going to play the bull. We've said that about quite a few players that IU's brought in here recently. And that's because IU wants positional flexibility and lineup flexibility from that position. You know, we cannot point to one specific body type and say that's what IU wants at the bull spot. They are looking for different body types, different player types to fit there to give themselves flexibility. That's something that I think Casey Teagarden and I would assume Tom Allen, you know, definitely both want Teagarden in charge of that spot. So Miles Jackson, a player that, you know, was highly thought of at UCLA. Chip Kelly spoke very highly of him when he announced he was transferring. They were bummed out about it, but definitely understood. He was hurt, which kind of dropped him down because when he was out, a couple of guys performed quite well, and it was hard for Jackson to get back into that lineup. But, you know, he's got some good physical tools that I think are going to help. Jared Casey, I thought this was a very, very big pickup because you mentioned this. He's got multiple years remaining, and that's one of the things that I think IU has done a really good job of in this portal. They've gotten some guys that are one-year players that are going to help. J.H. Tevis, I think he's probably – I mean, look, he'll be in line to start on the defensive line. I don't know if he's going to start for sure, but he'll be in line for that. That's a big addition. It's a one-year guy. Sean Shivers, that is a player that you are absolutely going to have in the mix at running back, at, you know, slot receiver. You're going to put him on the field to make plays. That's a one-year guy. Bradley Jennings Jr., brought him in at linebacker. Veteran presence. He played a ton for Miami. He's going to be in the linebacker rotation. Is he going to start? Who knows? But he's going to be in that rotation, going to get playing time. That's a one-year guy. But a lot of these other guys that you brought in are multi-year players. They still got multiple years left. You hope have lots of growth and potential left. And I think that's a really big deal and a nice job by the staff to get players like that. They're not just one-year rentals, if you will. They are players that you hope are going to come into your program, get a chance to play a different role, play a bigger role, or just, you know, be in a different setting and hopefully a better culture for them than where they came from, and grow within your program and contribute in 2022. Of course, you don't bring them in expecting them not to, but also in the future as well. And I balance those classes out. And I think Jared Casey is a player that, a little bit of a bigger linebacker, at 6'3", 232. I think that he has ability to play both spots, but it does seem like he might be a little bit better suited to line up, you know, maybe next to a Cam Jones instead of, you know, taking a Cam Jones's place. But I think that they're both very good additions, not just for this year, but I think that that multi-year eligibility they've got left is really a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to, again, they're both in for spring. It's going to rebuild that back that room. You know, you hope Cam Jones is back too. He hasn't officially announced it that I've seen, but,
right.
You know, you need linebacker depth, and that's something that I think Charlton Warren didn't do a good job of, was playing the depth, and you saw guys leave. You saw Ty Wise leave. You saw DK Bonham leave. And they were solid players. So
James
maybe
Miller.
James Miller, another guy who left as well. So it's not – I don't know.
We'll see. Look at the guys that are brought in here just on the transfer side. Up front, you've got Patrick Lucas, Ladarius Cox, both from Ole Miss. You've got J.H. Tevis, all Pac-10 guy from Cal, and then Miles Jackson at the bowl. That's just the transfers that were brought in.
Yeah.
You're also bringing in Isaiah Jones at linebacker, and Caden Turner at linebacker. And then up front, bringing in Richard Thomas. Let's see if I've got – I know I'm missing – somebody, Vincent Snead and Dominique James. So, I mean, that's a lot of talent being added to that front seven, or front six, depending on your formation. But I think that there was definitely a recognition that group did not do enough, despite the superlative performance from Mike McFadden and a really good year from Cam Jones. That group overall just didn't get the job done in 2021. It was not good enough, and it's an area that Tom Allen takes pride in and knows that they've got to be tougher there. And they brought in the transfer portal and in the high school class a number of players that they're going to expect to make early impacts. I think that the focus just on that front six, it's going to pay off hopefully right away, because there's some players here that I think can make a big difference. You know, I heard Todd Blackledge was on some radio show or TV show or something previewing the Georgia Alabama game, and you know, one of the things he said was that when you look on the screen, you're going to see a bunch of grown men with big old legs and big old asses that can move like they are the best athletes out there. And I'm not suggesting that IU's got those guys, but I do think they have upped their level of athlete and size and player with this incoming group over what they had a year ago. Whether that pays off on the field, we're going to see.
Yeah. And speaking of on the field, TJ, there might be some news coming down the pipe on Wednesday, January 12th, with the rumors that there's a revised Big Ten schedule coming out for the football season. There was a thing on the Pigs board that the season tickets that looks like the opener against Northwestern has been switched, and it will be Illinois instead. I don't know if the road schedule is the same or different on that. So we'll see. Keep your ear to the ground tomorrow. And things like that. I mean, it's better than getting Wisconsin, but you know,
yeah.
It's definitely different. I think if that is the change, it is because, as we've mentioned before, Northwestern is opening the season in Dublin in week zero, against Nebraska, and they like to have some space between that open week, second open week after that trip, so people could come back and get back on their time zone and things like that. So we shall see. So anyway, TJ, that does it for tonight's show. Thank you for joining us. We're sorry that Matt Weaver couldn't join us today, but we'll have him on again soon. He's always up for a podcast as well. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you everybody for listening. As always, your support means a lot to us, and we do appreciate it. So Hoosier Huddle is going to keep putting up stuff. We'll have whatever this revised Big Ten schedule is, we'll react to that and get an article up on it. And then I would assume defensive line coach hire will be made at some point in the near future, and we'll discuss that as well. So until next time, we do appreciate it. And stay safe, everybody.
All right. That does it for tonight's podcast. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Huddle, at Hoosier underscore Huddle, for all the IU news as well. We'll continue our State of the Rooms as well. That series, it's been fun to write and fun to read as well. We were just waiting for some dominoes to drop there to continue that, and they have. So we will continue that here in the next couple weeks. And then we have spring ball starting in mid-March. We'll preview that, take you through that as well. So, and then before you know it, it'll be time for the countdown to kickoff and through to the summer. So I enjoy the first day of the official off season of college football in 2022. There's going to be still so much news coming out. Spring football is going to be exciting. So stay with us. Enjoy the non-football time as well. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.